So Christmas Day is come and gone. I had an amazing time celebrating Christmas with you guys and with my family the last few days. Eden and I have been incredibly blessed this year. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal year. It's been a wonderful Christmas for us. Jesus is worth celebrating. And we did that as a family together. Some of us online, some of us here. We had candles, we did the things. It was wonderful. We've been blessed by you guys, by our families, by our homes. One of the most fun things about Christmas is giving gifts. Eden and I ran around on Christmas Eve and gave away little bags of stuff to people that we knew weren't coming to church. And that was so much fun, just to see people we hadn't seen in a long time and give gifts and share love with people. It's one of my favorite parts of the holiday. I love blessing people. I love blessing my little ones. I like buying things for my wife. It's fun. We don't typically buy very much for each other for the holiday. Most of our money is spent on short unemployed people, which includes my wife. Hey, we're having a good time then. Everybody's laughing. We spend time buying them things that they don't need. But this year, I bought Eden a sweater. She got me a blanket. I got her a sweater. So I was so excited about this blanket or about this sweater. I ordered it. She sent me a website, and she sent me a website with a link to something else. And then I found this sweater on that website, buried deep within. I thought it was really cute. I liked it. I wanted to bless my wife with it. So as soon as it got to our house, it got there during my lunch hour on like a Wednesday, a couple weeks ago. As soon as it got there, I had to give it to my wife right now. Here, you got to have it. Open it, put it on. I want to see it. And then I got to go back to work. It's a hoodie. Like, it's not anything. It's not anything inappropriate. It was just a hoodie. But it was something I wanted to bless my wife with. I like giving things. The guy that I went to school with is now a part-time carrier with the post office here in Keokuk. And I was talking to him the other day about the sheer number of things that they are delivering this year. He was hired as a part-time delivery person, and he's been working 50, 60, 70 hours a week delivering packages because we are shipping so much. There are so many things going to people's front doorsteps. I've seen several instances on Facebook where people are getting arrested because they're stealing packages, because there's so many packages. So many packages. So I began to consider what it takes for me to get the things that I order online, because I order stuff online just like you guys. We spent, we did a lot of our Christmas shopping at a store, but you know, some stuff you just buy online, and throughout the year we buy stuff online. And so I started thinking about it. And because teaching and preaching is my job, the whole process turned into an elaborate sermon illustration. So you guys get to hear about it. So that's why the title of my message today is "That's Not What I Ordered." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Help us to just be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to conform to the things that your word teaches us to be. Help us to be willing to change, willing to be obedient, willing to serve. Help us to do all of those things because we can't do it without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seems like in 2020 we are ordering things all the time. We go online on our phones or our computers, our tablets, our watches even, our televisions. We find the thing. We put our address in so they can calculate shipping. You got to have shipping cost. I had a friend in high school that bought a guitar on eBay, didn't think about the shipping cost, thought he had enough money, and then was contractually obligated for another $150. So you got to get shipping cost. Then you put in your card number, the expiration date, that security code on the back, and then you wait. Because you have no idea what happens after that. Somehow, it gets to your house. A few days later, the thing that we purchased arrives at our door, and we get excited. Online, we looked at it. It's the perfect thing. Then we open the package. And one of two things happens when you open the package. Either it is perfect, or it is totally not. And it happens. It could either be perfect, absolutely perfect, or totally wrong. It might be the wrong color. We ordered the blue plaid shirt so that we could match Betty and Robert and Ron today on the worship team. And we ended up with this black and white sweater. That's not right. Maybe we ordered the 32-ounce coffee cup and got the 8-ounce coffee cup. That's not going to suffice for some of us. Still a nice cup, but it's not what you ordered. It's not what you asked for. Maybe what you ordered got there and it just wasn't a finished product. I've had things come that they didn't do the finishing work. You got something and it's just like, yeah, but the screws aren't all tight. Why does this rattle? It shouldn't rattle. Or this zipper's not sewn on right. What's the deal with that? You paid good money for something and it's not right. Maybe it's missing packaging and so it got damaged in shipping. Maybe it just never arrived. Somewhere along the way, whether at the factory where it was made or in the warehouse where it was stored or in the shipping container or the box truck or the sorting facility or on the delivery truck, somewhere it got lost. The thing that you wanted just didn't make it. I ordered a sweater for myself earlier in the year and got an alert on my phone. It said, hey, it's been delivered. And I went out and checked because I know there are people that are stealing packages. So I went out. As soon as it said it's been delivered, it has not been delivered. It's not here. The next day, somebody else from somewhere else, not a delivery person, brought it to my house and said, here, it was open. Here, this was delivered to my house. It's not right. There are all sorts of things that can go wrong. There's so many opportunities for failure. And we find ourselves saying, that's not what I ordered. That's not right. Something about this transaction is wrong. Now, having gone through all of that, I'm reminded that as believers, our salvation, our lives, our eternities were purchased by the blood of Jesus. This is going to be kind of corny. It's going to be kind of jokey a little bit, but I'm going to deal with some really serious issues here. There are some things that we need to understand as believers about that purchase, because as we go through a process just to get a sweater here in the tri-state area, there's a process that Jesus went through to purchase us. There are things that we need to understand because we are bought and paid for. We are purchased. There are some things that we need to get. We need to get it in our heads. We need to understand it, that we forget throughout the year. We forget in June. We ain't thinking about Christmas in June. We're not thinking about the birth of Christ in June. We're not thinking about the crucifixion in June. We're not thinking about the resurrection in June. We forget that we were bought and paid for. So it is at the end of this year, 2020, your pastor is preaching about simple things so that we can remember. Because I think our God, after looking at what he has purchased, the things that he's paid for, might be inclined to say once in a while, that's not what I ordered. That's not what I asked for. That's not what I intended. That's not what I wanted. First, let's set it up. The first thing you know is that Jesus paid the price in full. And we were not cheap. We're going to be hanging out a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 through the section of Scripture. That section of Scripture is really talking about sexual immorality. I'm going to focus on ideas in that section of Scripture, things that Paul says that aren't really dealing with the topic of the Scripture, but are things that we should understand and that we can glean from it. I want to focus on the implications that Paul makes while dealing with those issue, with the issue of immorality. So we're going to be jumping around a bit. It's going to be kind of hard to focus. But this section of Scripture, Paul says a lot about God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "For you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body." You were bought at a price. Jesus paid full price. When Eden and I were talking about Christmas gifts for each other this year, I said that I pretty much buy whatever I want. And that's kind of true. Throughout the year, if I decide that I want or need something, I will work extra to buy that thing. I ain't waiting on Christmas. There's one thing I wait for at Christmas, and that's sweatpants. Get them every year. They're fantastic. It's good. I don't have to buy sweatpants. I never buy sweatpants. I get them. But everything else, if I want it throughout the year, I go out and buy it because I know what I like. I buy a specific brand of tools or a specific quality of tools at least. I buy a specific kind of clothes. I buy very specific things. So I go and purchase it. I pick it out. But what I don't do is pay full price. I never pay full price. If I decide, like right now, I want a jigsaw and a router. I want a specific brand. You may have a jigsaw and a router for sale. I probably don't want it. I want battery-powered tools that go with the rest of my tools. That's what I'm looking for. I know that I want those things. So I'm going to wait for like 6 months, even though I may have the money right now, because I don't want to give them what they want for it. The price is too expensive for me. I decide how much I want something, and then I wait until it's that price. Jesus paid full price. Full, excruciating, bloody, gory, nasty, flayed skin, flesh all over the place, price that you could not pay. So expensive that your bank account could not fathom. Your body could not fathom. He paid the price in full. And I think about God, and I think in my mind, well, he's God. He couldn't have used a coupon code like I did for that sweater? Couldn't he have made that cheaper so that Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross? No, because he's just, and he didn't want to. Because God is righteous. He's holy. He didn't change the rules. He paid full price. John 3:16 says he paid the full price. He was prepared at the time of the purchase to pay full price. You look through the Gospels, you see how expensive we are. I'm an expensive person. So the next thing I want to know is why? Why go through all of that? Why were we purchased? When I buy stuff for a reason. Why do I want that saw and router? Because I'm trying to build some windows for decoration on the back of this wall, and I borrowed somebody else's saw, and it's really handy. And so I want to just have that saw so I don't have to borrow it again. If I got to borrow it a second time, I may as well own one. That's why I want that saw. That's my reason. We eat chocolate because we're hungry and it tastes good. There's a reason and a purpose, right? We eat it because we're hungry, but we chose chocolate for a separate reason. We have to eat because we're hungry. We don't have to eat chocolate, but we have to eat chocolate. I can say that because Eden's not in the room. She can't have milk right now. We eat chocolate because it tastes good. The reason that Jesus paid the whole price is because God loved you. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this happened a couple thousand years ago, but it happened for you when you accepted salvation. It happened for you when you went through that process and said, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior in my life. It happened for you when you had that transformational conversation with yourself and with God. So we have a reason, and then we find a purpose in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. There's your purpose. The purpose is glorification of God. As I read scripture, the one thing that I understand time after time after time is God is most concerned about himself being glorified. He does not care nearly as much about my wants and needs as he does about his own glory. Why was Job able to go through everything Job went through? For the glory of God. Why did the apostles suffer and die? Many of them, many very, very gruesome deaths, following Jesus even to the cross. For God's glory. We were bought with a purpose to glorify God, and a reason because God loved us. When we were bought with a purpose, God had a plan that we would glorify Him, that we would share Him with the world. He talks about that all the time. When Jesus was walking on this earth, He sent people out time after time. Go and share. Go tell people about me. Go tell people about what you've seen, what you've heard. Go and share me. I'm sending 72 of you out. Take this stuff. I'm sending a few more of you out. Take this stuff. Go. Share the good news. The Messiah has come. That we would know His love, that the Holy Spirit would dwell in us. We find that in verses 19, 14, throughout this whole section. You see different reasons. We see different functions, different purposes that God had for our lives in this plan. And we all have different functions. Some of us are worship leaders. Some of us are pastors. Some of us are teachers. But it's all for the glory of God. We would use our body. We would use everything that we're given, the stuff that God gave us, and say, okay, glorify God. Verse 19 also says that you are not your own, that your body is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, even though we submit to every authority set before us, we understand from Scripture that if we got a boss, we answer to him. If we got a governor, we answer to them. If we got a king, we answer to them. Whoever we have in front of us that has claimed that authority, has been given that authority by God, and we submit to them, but at the end of the day, we have one master. At the end of the day, I submit only to God. And I submit to the rest of them because I submit to God. Still haven't gotten used to preaching off of this tablet thing. I change pages when I don't mean to. So we have this plan, we have a reason, we have a cause for purchase, and we know we're bought and paid for. And then we realize sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we fall short of what we were supposed to be, our design, our intended purpose. We fall short of that. And that might be for a variety of reasons. And we find warnings against all sorts of things in Scripture. As I read through Scripture, I see one thing after another where the Bible is warning us, hey, do this, don't do that, don't do this, do it this way instead. Don't be anxious, instead be thankful. Don't do this, do that. Don't be saltless. We're supposed to be outside the world, not in it, changed by it. We're supposed to transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds, right? Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this age. Don't be changed by your surroundings. But how many of us are changed by our surroundings? It happens all the time. It happens all the time to me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that even mean? Well, it means a lot of things. Meaning spending time in your word, spending time in devotion. But we fall short of that. We see this instruction, do not be, and we say, okay, be. We skip two words and it changes the whole meaning. We find ourselves conformed. We find ourselves looking at the same stuff they're looking at. We find ourselves reading the same stuff they're reading. We find ourselves promoting the same things that the world is promoting. Caring about the same things they care about. And yet we're told to be the opposite of that. Jesus called us to be salt and light, but he warned in that same message in Matthew. He said, be salt and light. Salt without saltiness is worthless. It may as well be gravel and dirt. You walk on it. I think that's in like Matthew chapter 5. That's not on my list of scriptures. Marla, don't look for it. We're called to be a certain way, and sometimes we don't make it. And it's we're warned about that time after time after time. And I find the Lord saying often about me, that's not what I wanted. He doesn't say that. But I know from his word that he has expectations for me. I know from his word that I'm supposed to be a certain way. Revelation 3:16 talks about if you're not hot or cold, if you're just lukewarm, if you're just riding the fence, if you're trying to be in the world and out of the world, if you're trying to be that person, you're going to be spit out. You may as well not have been anything at all. We find ourselves living in unforgiveness, even though time after time, over 100 times in Scripture. And a lot of you are older than me. You've been reading your Bibles longer than I've been alive. Over 100 times in Scripture, it talks about forgiving people and being forgiven. And we struggle. And I find the Lord saying, didn't you just read this last week in your devotional time? You read about forgiveness. Didn't the pastor talk about that? Wasn't that on the design scope and the things that I purchased? I paid for a forgiving people. I ordered forgiveness people. We know we have answers to anxiety and worry. We know we have answers to doubt and shame. Maybe we arrived on time to the right address and presented ourselves and forgot who we were. This is what I was talking about earlier. Dan was reading my notes. He flipped forward to page 4. He talked about how the prodigal son forgot his name. He went away. He took everything he could, and he said, I'm just going to live my best life now. I'm going to be the best I can be right now. I'm going to spend my whole inheritance. And ended up sleeping with pigs. He could have called his dad at any time and gone home. He waited until he was in the slop. Filthy and nasty. Sometimes we forget who we are to God. That we are that person that is redeemed, that is bought and paid for. Guess what? The stuff that I buy with my own money, I take very good care of. The stuff that I purchase, that I wanted, that I looked for a long time, I bought a $200 toolbox for tools because I want them to be safe. I want them to be protected. I want them to work every time that I call on them to work. I want to be able to roll it around. God chose us. And yet we insist on condemning ourselves, forgetting who we are, like that prodigal son, forgetting, hey, I have a home to go back to. I had a bed there. And we reduce ourselves down to, maybe I could be a servant. God doesn't love me so much that he'd do anything else for me, but maybe at least I could come back and sleep with the servants. And again, I find in my understanding of God, him saying, that's not what I ordered. So we go back to the word. This year has been a crazy year. We go back to the word. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. He bought you to be those things, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We got to remember who we are. And be the people God has called us to be. This morning I have taken what I hope to be a kind of a lighthearted approach to some very serious issues in regard to our lives and our faith. The reality is that Jesus died on a cross for forgiveness of sins, and it was gruesome. Shh. Just trying to help you out. Hey, shh. I'm trying to take a lighthearted approach. I was looking at this from a perspective of, hey, what did God want from us? What does God want from me in 2021? What does that even look like? Because Jesus died on the cross to purchase us, to purchase you and all your failure, to purchase you and all your self-condemnation. Out of bondage, out of nonsense. This year is almost over. 2020 is coming to an end very, very quickly. Very quickly. We got 4 days left of this year. As a church this year, God called us to a few key things: to be a church that worships, a church that loves, that prays, that gives, and a church that grows. It was an interesting start to the year because we looked at very, very basic principles. I don't know if you guys remember, but in January, we had five different people preaching. Dan and Robert, Colette, I guess it was four because I preached twice. We had a series kind of focused on that issue, on those issues. It was interesting to start the year with such basic principles, only to watch the world collapse around us. Only to watch church end for 3 months. It's been 8 months since we've seen some of our people in person. We watched the world collapse, and we saw during that time how vital those five things really were to our health as believers. Hey, if you weren't worshiping in your own time, then you're not worshiping with a TV screen, because I'm a worshiper and worshiping with a TV screen is not fun. It is not fun. Not my favorite thing. If you're not spending time in prayer on a regular basis, then when you're not receiving or when you're not praying corporately with us, you ain't praying, because we weren't getting together to pray. If you weren't a giver, then you haven't been giving, because we haven't taken an offering in 6 months. It's been a while. The plates just sit back there. Church is still financially healthy? Marla says yes. She's the one that knows. We're still doing fine. We had opportunity to grow, to become stronger believers, to exercise our faith a little bit. As pastor, I've seen us do really, really well at some of those things some of the time, and really bugger up some of those things some of the time. There are people that aren't in our church anymore because there are things that we failed at throughout the year, some things that I failed at. I'm in the same place today. I still have to focus on those things. And yet I see that we're not in the same place at all, that as a church, we have grown by leaps and bounds. I don't have to take an offering. You guys have got giving down. You've got it figured out. It's so much a part of your world that I don't even talk about it ever. We have one screen that says, if you want to give online, that's how. Because it's kind of tricky. We are growing. We are learning. And as I look on this back year, as I look back on this last year, I've seen growth in our church. God is doing really, really cool things here. Some tough things, some hard things to get through, but some cool things. So as we look forward to this next year, we got to remember that we're bought and paid for, and there's expectations with that purchase. Jesus has an expectation that we would be glorifying God. He paid full price for all my nonsense. Full price for your whole life of sin. As we remember this last year, we should consider the times that we short-sold ourselves when considering God, where we fell short. And we should remember that we're purchased and forgiven from all of that nonsense. We get to start anew today with new grace, fresh robes, fresh rings, fresh sandals, brought back into the house and celebrated. And I need that because I'm from yesterday and this morning. As we remember that we are purchased, we have to remember that there really are things as Christians that we're expected to do. It's fun to think, hey, we're just saved and we get to live our lives however we want, but that's really not the case. Our purpose is to glorify God. So there are not a lot of things that there's not like a three-step thing that I want to go through and say, hey, these are the things to do, to do the thing, to remember that we're the thing. I don't have that. This isn't one of those messages. It's supposed to be kind of lighthearted. It feels like it got a little heavy. Feels like that. But we can fall short in a lot of different areas. We don't give ourselves enough grace, and sometimes we give ourselves too much grace. Let ourselves get away with too much and don't let ourselves get away with enough. So as we prepare for this next year as your pastor, I can't recommend enough that we focus on the important things. That we spend time more than ever in the Word of God. We take time this year more than we've ever done before, and we just open the Bible and read and understand. Even more than you did last year. I had a guy on Facebook said, I read the Bible 12 times this year. Next year, you need to do it 35 times. If you got enough time for 12, you got enough time for 35. Come on, guy. Let's go. More time. This next year, even more time in prayer. Even more time in prayer. More than your 20 minutes in the morning, your 20 minutes at lunch, your 20 minutes at dinner time, whatever you're doing right now, multiply it. Magnify it. Make it more. Maybe you spend time maybe you've never spent time in prayer in the evening. Spend time in the prayer in the evening. Make it part of your life. Make it part of your world. Spend even more time in worship. Even more time. Even if that's the only music you listen to, even if you're singing it every day, more time. Because we don't know how much time we've got. We don't know. And we were bought with a price. We were bought for a price, full price. So I want to end with this thought from Philippians 2:12. It says, therefore, my friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. And we have promise there. It says, when you're out of church and when you're in church, when Paul is with you and when he's not with you. Paul's never been with us. So that means not only in my presence, but even more. So we're in the even more stage, right? You know that because Paul is not standing before you. It's Adam. Work out your own salvation. We've got work to do this next year. We've got a lot of work to do. If we're going to be the people that God purchased, we're going to be what God wanted us to be, we've got to be who he called us to be. When we're in church and out of church, we put faith in God to complete the work that he started. For it is God, and this is the good part, because some of it is me. I got effort I got to put in. But I understand that it is God who's doing the work. And that makes it possible. It makes it possible for me to be a different person tomorrow than I was yesterday. Because God had a whole day to work on me and change me and mold me to who he wanted me to be. So as we go forward this year, let's look for that. Let's keep record of that. hey, God did this. God did this. And let's brag about it throughout the year. Hey, God's working on me. God's doing these things so that we can do the things God has called us to be, and that's glorifying him. Amen? Let's pray. God, it is my desire that you'd never be disappointed with us. I know that you chose us, that you picked us out as believers. I know that we have your favor in everything that we attempt to do for your glory. We ask that you would help us to be those people all the time. That we would have less times this next year than last where we missed the mark. That we would represent you better in 2021 than we did in 2020. That we would show the world you better in 2021 than we did in 2020. God, we can only do that with your strength, for your word says that it is you who is doing the work in us. Help us to do that. Lord, we submit this next year to you in prayer right now. We want to give you glory with the whole year. We thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the wonderful things that you're doing. God, I ask for blessings on each one of these people, that they would go and just be well and be fed and be blessed throughout this whole week. We thank you for that, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.